I'm happy now to welcome back to the show Marcela Diaz. She is the executive director of Somos Un Pueblo Unido, which is an immigrants' rights organization here in New Mexico, and Marina Piña, who is an organizer. Welcome, ladies, to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having us once again.
My great pleasure, and of course, as anybody listening probably has already guessed, it's the beginning of the legislative session, and every year the same issue comes up over and over again, which is the question, well, actually, the last couple of years, the question's come up, which is the question of immigrant driver's licenses. This thing just won't go away. What's going on?
It won't go away, Mary Charlotte. It's the third attempt by this administration to take away the licenses of folks who live, work, and pay taxes in our state, taking a license not just from individuals, but really from their whole family, because, of course, we know that lots of U.S. citizen children depend on their parents and their ability to drive safely and insured and with registered vehicles. And so it's really unfortunate. We honestly believe from the work that we've been doing around the state, talking to legislators, talking to community members, that people are really tired of this issue, very fatigued. And so this is a 30-day session. We know that voters across the state and non-voters who are immigrants really want our legislators to tackle issues in relation to the economy, into job creation, job stability, education issues. These are the issues that they really want them to tackle. This is like low, low, low on people's priorities.
So what happened? There was some kind of program put in place temporarily involving immigrant licenses by the Martinez administration, but it bypassed the legislature. What was that all about?
Yes, obviously the state legislature did not come to any agreement on a repeal. The Senate wisely decided that it didn't make much sense to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and they put together an alternative proposal that would safeguard the public safety benefits that we have by making sure that immigrants, regardless of immigration status, are insured, register their vehicles, are in a law enforcement database, but at the same time cracking down on fraud and increasing residency requirements, requiring more renewals. That passed in the Senate, but it never got to the governor's desk because they couldn't come to an agreement with the House as to what to send to her desk. So that happened in the first session. In June, in June of this last year, there was this big residency program, re-verification program, targeting 10,000 only foreign nationals. And, of course, MALDEF and a Albuquerque-based firm stepped in.
What's MALDEF?
The Mexican-American Legal Defense Fund, based out of San Antonio and out of California. And they protect the rights of Mexican-Americans and Latinos, and really, you know, the civil rights of everyone,
right?
If we think about it in that way. And so that program, they sued because they said you can't discriminate against folks. And this, we knew that program was very costly, was inefficient, and was just meant to drum up evidence to use in the special session. But it was enjoined. There was a second lawsuit that was just filed last week by MALDEF and by the same Albuquerque-based firm, and it's a whistleblower lawsuit. And
I read about that in the paper. Somebody was fired because she complained that she was required by motor vehicles to enforce discriminatory policies. She couldn't speak Spanish to Spanish-speaking people and things like that.
Yeah, asked to treat people disparately based on their national origin. So, you know, Mexicans were treated in one way, Canadians another. And so she saw some of these problems, from what I understand as well, from what I read in the paper and the press releases, and she was fired for complaining. So now, you know, that only corroborates what we've known to be true from folks in our community who've been saying that, you know, they're being asked to present more documents than required. You know, when it really comes down to it, there are lots of things that can be done in regulation and through administrative policy, legal things that help crack down on fraud, that help ensure that people are using good residency documents. We can improve residency requirements. In this last year, there has been no effort to actually do that by this administration. Instead, it's this continued sort of attack through the legislature. And I think it's pretty clear now, based on everything that we've been seeing in the press and what we've been hearing, that people know that this is just a part of a political agenda and not really about
public safety.
Yeah, good policy.
So just to do a little bit of history, the history of this immigrant driver's license law was that a bunch of immigrants, a large number of immigrants, eventually got together and basically lobbied for a law that would allow them to get driver's licenses. And amazingly enough, to the general public, this was very much supported by law enforcement, who liked the idea that people would have identification, and the insurance industry didn't seem to mind because there would be fewer uninsured drivers on the road and that kind of thing. So how has it panned out so far?
Well, we've seen about 90,000 individuals from New Mexico who live here, who pay taxes here and who work here, able to get licenses. That means everyone under the age of 25 without a social security number.
Have to take a test.
They were able to take a DWI prevention exam as well as go through training. That means kids under the age of 18 in that graduated licensing system who don't have social security numbers have to show that they have no alcohol or drug-related offenses on their record. I mean, and that they've taken DWI training. It's a really good thing in our DWI prevention efforts to ensure that everyone is a part of those efforts, not just folks with social security numbers, especially if they're going to be driving anyway. It means that...
Have there been fewer DWIs? Is there a way to measure that, do you know?
I mean, we've seen that, you know, there. I mean, it's again, we make up such a small... I mean, all of this for about 5% of our... license database anyway.
Oh, okay. So basically most DWIs are American citizens with American citizen driver license.
Right, as is, yeah. And so we can't, it's very difficult to, when you're such a small percentage of the population as a whole, to have a big and significant impact on any rate.
Right, of course.
But what we can say is that, you know, why eject 90,000 people from this system of accountability. We understand, and we talk about driver's licenses not as a right or as a privilege, but as a requirement that's imposed on all people who live in our state to ensure public safety. And so, why exempt this important part of our community from that those mechanisms of accountability?
Yeah. So we have about 90,000 people who are paying insurance, are registering their cars, and if they are taken away from the system, we still have to drive, right? But now we're going to have to do it without insurance, without, you know, we're not going to have any kind of identification that it's helping also law enforcement.
We're talking to Marcela Diaz and Marina Pina from Somos Un Pueblo Unido. Marina, you are going around the state and talking to people and holding meetings. What's going on in outside of Santa Fe?
Exactly right. Like Marcela was saying about these discriminatory policies, this is the everyday story that we are told in these communities, not only in Santa Fe, but we go all around the state, you know, and we have community meetings where entire families, you know, with children, come to our meetings and tell us their stories and how is it, what is happening at local MVDs, but also the importance of having a driver license.
What is happening at their local MVDs?
Well, you know, we have stories like we have to get a driver license. If you're an immigrant, you have to take an appointment, get an appointment. So most of the people who go through the appointment process, they don't get their driver license on the first appointment because for any little excuse, they are rejected from getting their driver licenses and they have to do several appointments to get them. You know, we have members who already have like 8 appointments and cannot still get their driver licenses.
And these are people who live in our state. And so if people who actually live in our state and have documentation to prove it are having such a hard time, imagine people from outside of the state who aren't eligible to get a driver's license. So this whole notion that you can walk in, get a license, you know, walk out without proving your identity, without proving your residency, and then go to another state and trade that driver's license is just false.
Is that what's being said as an excuse to cancel repeal the law?
We just heard once again last week.
That's one of the arguments.
The governor on television saying you can take New Mexico's driver's license and go to New York You know, she was saying these Pakistanis can fly to New Mexico, get a New Mexico driver's license in a day, go to New York, and trade their driver's license for a New York license.
Pakistanis? And what does Pakistan have to do with anything?
It seems irrational, I know.
But wait a minute. Is there a single documented case of a Pakistani person flying in and getting it? I mean, what are we talking about? Is this made up, or is it based on something that we might call evidence?
I mean, there is fraud. I mean, there's fraud not just in New Mexico, but there is fraud in every state, of course. And we as an organization and as a coalition of about 40 organizations do not support fraud, do not support people coming from other states to get licenses. But when you go on TV and say, you know, that, I mean, there's so much fear-mongering in that statement, right, that someone's flying from a country that is obviously a part
overseas
of a larger discourse on terrorism and coming from overseas to get a license, it's disingenuous. And in fact, there are really strong policies in place and practices that have been put in place over a number of years to ensure the security of our driver's licenses. There are a number of security features on our driver's licenses. It doesn't mean that we can't do even better. And that's really, I think, what the legislature has really, they've signaled through the last, you know, the regular session, that they want to keep licenses for immigrants who live, work, and pay taxes in our state and crack down on the people coming from other states. Now, the other thing is you can't go to another state and trade our driver's licenses for another. There's no state that has that kind of lax requirement. Every state requires a number of documents to prove identity and residency in their state.
Yeah, I think you used to. When I moved here 20 years ago, I think I came with my Massachusetts driver's license.
And you just traded it.
Traded it in. They
that
punched
is
a
not
hole
the
in the old one.
Anymore.
Yeah. And you kept the old one, right?
No. That doesn't happen anymore. And so if the governor were to actually look, as we have at every state's requirements to get a driver's license, she would learn that, in fact, it's a lot more difficult in every state to get a license, just as it is here.
So let's talk about the politics of the upcoming legislative session. The governor wants to get enough votes to repeal the driver's license law that allows undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses. What are you proposing? What is the mood in the legislature?
Well, I'm hopeful that legislators will listen to their constituents when their constituents are saying, these are the issues that are important to us.
What are the issues that are important to people?
The economy, job creation, job stability, making sure that we have a sound budget. I mean, these are the issues that immigrants and non-immigrants are interested in our legislative leaders tackling. Education. And, you know, we've seen polling that suggests that this driver's license, shows that, you know, far below, that the vast majority of folks do not think that this is an important issue. I think it was 1% of Hispanic voters thought that this was an issue.
The main priority.
One of their main priorities.
Yeah.
And I think it was 9.5% of sort of the voters in general who thought that this should be a priority. And so the vast majority thought that and think, and that certainly, I mean, that makes sense. And it's not just, I mean, we've seen a number of polls that show that, you know, the economy and jobs really dominate voters' concerns. That makes a lot of sense. And so,
well, when you think about what affects your daily life, whether you have a job or not affects your daily life more than whether somebody down the street does or doesn't have a license.
Right. I mean, we've also seen polling that shows that, you know, 2/3 of New Mexicans likely voters, support this Senate alternative proposal that continues to license immigrants. Regardless of immigration status, continues to require them to get licenses, but subjects them to additional residency requirements, more frequent renewals, and to additional penalties for fraud.
Does that mean instead of 8 appointments, they'll have 12 appointments?
Well, hopefully not. It just means that, you know, I mean, and right now it's, I mean, you can use, if you're a foreign national without a Social Security number, you can use your passport from another country, or you have to have either a passport from another country or a matricula consular from the Mexican consulate.
That's the ID.
At the minimum,
that's issued
right?
by the Mexican consulate.
Right, but in addition to many other documents supporting those, but at the minimum for nationals without socials have to have that. And those are verifiable documents. RMVD has the ability to, and does for these folks, to verify the authenticity of these identity documents with the issuing agencies. That's a pretty, most people don't know that we have that kind of secure system.
Right. To get a matricula consular, it's more difficult for the community to get a matricula consular, right? Because you have to prove that
your residency,
and also that you're actually, from Mexico. So,
or wherever
harder.
You're from. Yeah.
So we hope that we're confident that again the legislators are fatigued by this issue, but we have to contact them. We are hosting not just Somos, several statewide organizations from around New Mexico are hosting a Immigrant Day of Action. We're coming, sharing our stories, really trying to hold our legislators accountable and really create that balanced discussion. We're not talking about people from other countries. We're not talking about terrorists. We're not talking about criminals. We're talking about people with families. Here they are. This is who I am. I'm not dangerous. What do I do with my driver's license? I buy insurance. I register my vehicles. I go to court if I have a traffic ticket. I pay my tickets. I comply with the law. And that's really, those are the people we're trying to safeguard. We have a very broad and growing list of organizations that are a part of this coalition, the Coalition to End Against Domestic Violence, the League of Women Voters,
NAACP.
The NAACP. It's the social workers. CWA. It's a long list of folks. Plus, all our faith communities and our civil rights organizations across, and immigrants' rights organizations across the state. So. Again, and then of course there are law enforcement officials who come and talk at these hearings and have spoken at several hearings and have spoken out about how important a tool this is to have folks who are not in other databases in our state database that's accessible.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the biggest one when I look at this whole issue. Besides basic fairness and safety and the reality that this is a nation of immigrants and we might as well get real with that. The fact that people who do speed or steal or whatever they do have an ID and are in a database, that's huge for law enforcement. I'm sure it's helped a lot.
Of course, it helps people who are, that's obviously not the majority, but the few that are out there that are committing crimes, they're in a database. And law enforcement can access the latest information. Even national security experts have said that it makes no sense to take immigrants out of these state databases because they, in fact, MVD databases across the country, have the most recent and updated information on individuals who are living in our country. And their databases, the MVD databases, are more up to date than Department of Homeland Security databases or
right.
Bureau of the U.S. The Bureau of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. So
probably
you know,
the only thing more up to date is Facebook.
Besides the driver's license, right?
So the day of
I hear law enforcement's trying to use Facebook too.
I'm sure. let's just think about if you were an agency that was trying to collect intelligence. And you had this giant database where people were putting everything in themselves. Mm-hmm. You'd probably try to use it, but that's another story. Let's talk about the Day of Action, which is tomorrow, Tuesday.
That's right.
Yes. We have people coming from all around the state tomorrow, 24th, at 10 a.m. at the state capitol. For a rally. And hopefully you can join us.
Yeah, and we would, get involved, go to our website. We've got a great website called DL News, somosunpueblounido.org/DL News. If you go to somosunpueblounido.org, we post the latest articles, information, fact sheets on driver's license. It is, for us and for our community, it is a public safety issue, and that's important to all of us. And unfortunately, what we've seen with this repeated efforts is I think that the administration I think it's pretty clear to everyone now that it's not about the actual policy. It really is about the politics. And we just have to be really careful. Marina came back from one of these community meetings I think was it Lovington, and an individual who had lived here for about 8 or 9 years, originally came from Arizona.
Exactly.
And he was an immigrant, is an immigrant. And he said, you know, back in the mid-90s in Arizona, you know, we were fine. You know, we didn't see all of this hostility towards immigrants. He said, and then all of a sudden, a lot of folks who were undocumented started getting letters in the mail from their MVD saying, if you don't have a social security number, you need to come in and turn your driver's license. He said, and then after, that's how it started. He said, and then after that,
14
we started.
14 years later.
You know, 14 years later, you see SB Senate Bill 1070. And so this, for
and
us.
And you see a prohibition on ethnic studies of any kind in the public schools in Tucson, Arizona.
That's right. And it's, so we, you know, we understand that this is a part of a larger political strategy to build a base and to build momentum on this wedge issue and to distract voters from some of the other issues. But we think New Mexico, we hope New Mexico is better than that.
And we've been doing better than that, right? We do not want to be the next Alabama. And hopefully we can save the soul of our state.
That's right.
Marina Piña and Marcela Diaz are with Somos Un Pueblo Unido. They are on the web at somosunpueblounido.org. And if you have any trouble finding that or spelling it, I will put it on my website and you can go straight to it, santaferadiocafe.org. And you're on Facebook.
Yes.
Good.
Well, so who are you if you're not on Facebook?
Exactly.
I personally am not, but Somos is.
All right. Well, it's great to have you both, and we will keep up with this issue during the course of the 30-day session. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.